Hey, so again, thank you for being here. We're going to go through some of these questions that you guys had for us, some just about LTN stuff, some about LTN Con. Just to introduce us, I'm Chris. I'm the chief executive nerd. And then I'll let these guys introduce themselves.
I'm Bubba Stallcup, and I am a chief nerd in charge of outreach, branding,
podcast network,
all of the things.
Technology.
I should have brought a second. Hey, I'm Matt. I'm chief nerd of community, and I'm over Twitch and the Discord and all of that whatnot stuff. See, chief nerd over. That's what I was going to
say. I'm Drew Dixon. I'm the chief content nerd. I love I Nerd. And so I oversee all of our written content, articles on loveinerd.com. And Chris and I co-host Humans of Gaming.
Ooh, well, since I'm speaking and unfrozen.
Maybe April Lynch is really still.
Maybe she is. I'm Kate.
I'm
the social media nerd here at Love Thy Nerd. So you might have seen me in the chat all weekend.
I'm April Lynn. I'm the chief resource nerd. I am responsible for creating resources and that help to equip the church and individuals to do the stuff.
Yeah, thank you. So I had this thought. I've had this thought over the past few weeks. You know, we use this word founders a lot when it comes to the six of us. And the reality is we have closer to like 400 founders of LTN. You know, we have people that have been with us since the beginning. People that, you know, believed in us, supported us, I mean, financially, prayerfully, in every other way that... The reality is you're all founders in my heart, in our hearts. And so I just don't want that term to be, you know, I don't know. I want us all to feel like family. I want us all to feel like we're in this together, and because we are. It wouldn't happen without you. You know, if we were here streaming all weekend and it was just us, there wouldn't be much point to that. You know, we could just play games with the whole... I was a child when y'all started.
Thanks. Well, you're part of this, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
But I hope that makes sense. You know, it's just a term that we use to just say, like, hey, this is, like, you know, the people that are doing a lot of work behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, we're going to jump into some of these questions. So, we don't really have a rhyme or reason to the order of these, necessarily, and... We're going to do our best for all of us not to answer every question. If you're at the first LTN Con, we did like a Q&A thing. And we were all so excited that when somebody asked a question, like literally all of us.
Right here.
Can I get a
co-founder? It's in the mail, Kyle.
It's in the mail.
Yeah, just
check your mail daily. You'll find it.
Just get a crayon.
Yeah. Check your spam.
That's right. Get a crayon.
Just make sure it's routed correctly.
Yeah, around the corners.
Yeah, we might have an old address for you. Sorry. But yeah, we're gonna try to, you know, keep this snappy and be able to get through all these questions. If we don't get through these, you know, you can email us anytime. It's just our name at lovethynerd.com. So Chris, Bubba, Matt, Drew, April, and Kate, like, email us. Let us know. We're always open to that kind of stuff. Like, we don't have to wait for some specific Q&A to do this.
So. And all of our emails are just our name at lovelynerd.com. So really, we do want to hear from you.
The same thing I just
April
said.
Lovelynerd.com.
Yeah, but if you want to get a hold of us, it's just our name at lovelynerd.com.
I literally...
Rachel's 30 seconds answer there. getbent@lovelynerd.com. That is the question and answer box right there.
In your heart.
I think Get Bent goes to Matt.
Yeah, Get Bent goes to me. Yeah, Get Bent at lovelynerd.com.
I can't multitask. I'm looking at these questions. I'm sorry.
That's great. Hey, we're going to start with a little softball question here for Kate.
Okay? There is our name.
Yeah. Kate, this came in from Stream Mom. What is your least favorite? So Kate is our social media nerd, if you guys didn't hear that earlier. So chief social media, any of that stuff you see, that's all Kate. So all that... clever quips and jibes that come through on social media as all Kate. Kate, what is your least favorite social media platform and why? Softball.
That's easy. My least favorite is Facebook. I think it is the worst thing that I've ever seen. I mean, I know that, that all social media is toxic and that, and has that super toxic aspect to it, but Facebook is not fun. It's gone to the point where it's filled with, like, old people scams to give the credit card number and stuff.
I feel targeted here.
You feel seen.
So, Matt, be careful. Be careful, Matt. I don't know. I just, I like Instagram and Twitter better. They make me laugh. I like a good laugh.
Oh, you're just
if you
want to
laugh.
Twitter can be pretty toxic.
Twitter,
it can be. Drew, okay, it's...
That's why I go on TikTok a lot. Safe space.
But I want to make a Twitter account for my grandparents, the things they say. Okay, where else am I going to put that? Facebook?
I love it.
I basically decided that... I agree with you about Facebook. Facebook, for me, posting stories about my son. It's all...
Thatcher you got to follow Drew Dixon on Facebook for those stories of Thatcher. It's
Thatch Watch.
Yeah.
Thatch Watch.
Yep. Yeah, so, see, I mean...
Say thank you. You're welcome.
That's it. I just...
Okay, thank you.
Facebook's my least favorite. You're welcome.
Back in here to the studio to us. We got another question from Library Night, which I thought was a good one. April Lynn, I think you were going to take this one. How did you all figure out who had which role within LTN when y'all founded LTN?
When y'all...
Y'all.
What's the first person version of y'all?
You all.
Y'all.
Founded LTN. Some of you know that we were working with an organization called Game Church before this, which is how we all met and became friends. And so some of it was just a literal copy and paste. Like, Chris was acting director at the time, so he just kind of picked up that role and moved over to LTN. Bubba at the time was doing community, so he just kind of picked up that role from Game Church and moved it over to Love Thy Nerd. And then some of it has been trial and error, because now Bubba is doing the mission side of things. He and Matt swapped because they found out, you know, over time that, hey, this is what I am more passionate about. So it's just been kind of a learning process for all of us. And Drew's has been, I think, the most straightforward over time, just being an editor and writing. But, you know, the titles that we have, too, they only describe a portion of what we do. Like, Drew, yes, he's the editor of website, but he also loves doing his Survivor podcast with Jen. And...
Right.
and has done some of those Bible thump devotionals on demand videos, and you know he and Chris do the Humans of Gaming podcast. So everybody's got their own stuff that they do, and the titles just kind of make it sound official.
I'll apologize for him. Sorry.
Drew's an influencer.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it.
Sweet. Matt, this one's for you.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I think so. I'm like dragging. I'm ready.
Wait. We forgot. Rachel wanted to know what our favorite desserts were.
Oh, I missed that one. Okay, favorite dessert.
You missed that.
Starting with you, April Lynn.
Okay, tiramisu.
Okay. Kate, favorite dessert?
All of them. Kate.
I mean, that's
cookies.
Good, too.
Ice cream.
That's so generous.
I love ice cream.
Red vines.
Really?
Red vine. That's not even a dessert. Right.
Next.
Anything chocolate, probably? Is that okay?
Favorite is like hot and cold stuff. So like a warm brownie with warm fudge and ice cream. Hot and cold.
Mm. Also, icy warm chocolate chip cookies straight out of the oven are pretty
good. Burning, yeah.
All right, Matt, this is for you. Tell me about the arcade. What is it? How closely or loosely are they governed by, is it governed by LTN?
I'm so glad you asked. Who asked that?
Terry Acuna.
Hey, thanks, Terry. So the arcade, we do an event once a month on usually the first Saturday of the month, where we take submissions from people from the community who want to play games with other people in the world or the community. So whether that be Codenames or an RPG or Among Us, really, it kind of anything goes. We're trying to bring in as many people as we can to these events. Tierney Silver, our community manager, kind of oversees all of everything. We have help from Jared in the comments there, mm-hmm. who helps just get the a form to sign up to. Chad helps. Matt Selfers helps. So we're all still very much part of that. I'll be honest, like, I've given it to her, and I think that I have... I'm extremely thankful that she took it, because I have so much other things to do. Like, I wish I had time to do more things, but I feel like there's always things to do. So being able to, like, hey, have a community... It's almost like a community game night for all the people in the community. So we're still here. We hop in when we can, so...
And it's basically what's been happening the past 2 days.
Yes,
exactly. So, like, all these events, you know, when we do exclamation point events, that's exactly what the arcade stuff looks like. So we do that once a month. So what's happening here at LTNCon, like, there's part of that that happens literally every month.
Yep. So we will have another one, I don't even know what day it is, the beginning of next month, so.
I believe it's Sunday.
Yeah, it is Sunday. So be on the lookout for that. If you're not in our Discord, I think most of you should be by now. There's a whole section there just for the arcade, so we'd love for you to get involved in our events, play some games, and if there's a game that we're not playing that you're like, we really need to be playing FIFA, hey, you know, or whatever, like, propose that. Make that happen.
It was an example.
FIFA. Because,
I
love FIFA. Exactly.
I started playing FIFA because of you guys.
I'm bad at it.
And then you guys immediately all stopped.
Oh my gosh. Here we go.
We've all been rude.
Anyways, we would love for you to be a part of it. And I think after this month, things slow down, so I hope to also be more a part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Kate, I got one for you. Biggest struggle you've encountered... This is an easy one, Kate. Biggest struggle you've encountered doing ministry, mostly online in the public eye, in a world where the new level of scrutiny can have such intense and lasting implications.
Whoo-wee!
It's an easy one, Kate. Come on.
Well... I mean, I was talking earlier about my least favorite social media platform. And the internet is a place that has changed a lot, as we could all see. And it, like, keeps changing. And there's, at least for me, am I speaking, like, for myself on this or speaking for all of you?
Yeah.
Just do wherever the spirit leads you. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so at least for me, there's there is that... kind of like back of the mind fear of people like seeing something they don't like that's going to trigger them and they're going to, I don't know, lose it on social media about something that we did. And it gets like discouraging if you think about it too much, because then it gets people in a place of, well, I don't want to post this because I don't want people to be mad, or I don't want people to disagree, or I don't want people to report my post as inappropriate when it's the gospel of Jesus. But I don't know, at the end of the day, we want to do what's best to help Love Thy Nerd live out its own mission statement. And I think you can find something wrong with people everywhere. Like, people are running stuff and they're jacking it up because they're imperfect, but they're trying. So it's just a really odd time to be doing stuff online, especially online ministry. Because at any moment, you know, something's going to be wrong and you don't even know until it's already happened. Mm-hmm. But... all you can do is try your best, and I think that's what we're doing. I mean, I'm doing it. I'm pretty sure Matt's trying his best. I really am.
I always am.
I can't speak for Bubba really about trying his best, but
that's how I know he's not.
Oh, come on.
That's just what we're doing, is trying our best to love nerds the way that we know how in the situation that we're given, which is online, mostly online at the moment right now. So, give some people some what's the word?
Grace?
Forgiveness and kindness if they grace, that's better. Yeah, that's what I meant. Forgiveness and kindness if they make a mistake online and they work for a ministry or a nonprofit or something. It's like, it happens, you know, the end.
I was gonna say, I think the gospel, you touched on it already, Kate, but the gospel kind of gives us a framework for operating without fear when it comes to those kinds of things. I don't think being fearful of upsetting people, we need to balance that with respect. Like, we want to have a posture of humility where we want to learn from people who are different than us and that might get offended by something that we do. But also, I think it's unhealthy to have this posture of fear that says, like, I'm not going to step out and say things or do things because I don't want to upset anyone or anything. Mm-hmm. So I think you just have to balance that, like, and remember that, the gospel tells us that we're all broken, so we're all going to, like, maybe not get canceled, but maybe.
Legit. Maybe.
And if we do... And if we do, what do? We go to Jesus and we look for the forgiveness that only He can bring, and we start to rebuild and learn from those moments. So even though it's like a really contentious season of life, it's also, this is a season of life where we all have a lot to learn from people that are very different from us, and there's lessons that we have to learn that we weren't really introduced to before, which I think is really exciting too. So, I don't know, but it is incredibly difficult too, so.
Yeah. And I think we're actively trying to, so there's this idea of inclusivity, and, you know, for us, like, that's, our message is that we want to be the love of Jesus to nerds and nerd culture, full stop, period. And doesn't matter who or what or why or when those nerds are. When?
When, yeah.
You're doing great.
Like, it could be the 90s, it could be the 2000s.
You know, and so there's certainly a message of inclusivity there, and yet, I actually, maybe this is a hot take, like, real inclusivity doesn't exist, because when you want to include certain people, you will exclude the people that don't want to include those people.
Yep.
Did you get all that?
Yeah.
I wrote it down.
What we always have to do, in the line that we always have to, you know, maybe a simple example of this is, like, very clear to us that we want to reach people that don't know Jesus or that are mad at Jesus or the church or hate it, but at the same time we want to help educate the people that have done that hurting. And in our content that we create, sometimes it's very hard to reach both of those equally. One time or the other, we're going to alienate, the pendulum's going to swing too far in one direction, and we're going to alienate one group of people or another. And so really we just see it as our job is to, like, constantly try to find that balance, and constantly, when we have to choose, because we will, when we have to choose the way that, frankly, I see Jesus choosing, which is standing with the people that are marginalized and ostracized and orphaned and downtrodden. When He had to choose, those are the people He chose. And so those are the people that we want to choose when we have to. And, you know, trying to do things that help broaden our perspectives, you know, it's not lost on us that it's like our core leadership team here is four white dudes. Thankfully,
it's not my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thankfully, like, I'm really thankful that we have Kate and that we have April Lynn, because they bring a completely different perspective than us. and so we're trying to do things, like, with our advisory team and other avenues to, like, bring more diverse perspectives so that we're able to be more inclusive, because, frankly, sometimes we just don't know.
And we have a lot of growing to do there, and that's all of us, but,
My prayer is always that God will send us the right people. Mm. I think a lot of times diversity trumps calling, and I don't want to say that, like, we're not trying to be diverse, because that's not the case, but the last thing we want to do is to lean into any kind of tokenism as well, and so... God has called us to a very specific thing here at Love Thy Nerd, and we want to make sure that we fulfill that purpose and that calling well. And God has already, since we've opened up and since we started to be, you know, more cognizant of that, we've seen a lot of great things happen. And we've seen a lot of great people come to our organization that we are welcoming with open arms, because we are not an us four and no more white guys only, you know, cigar club. Like, that's not what's happening here.
We're about
the business of Jesus, and we want to love and serve our nerdy neighbors well. My wife always says, she's like, hey, are you people in general, are you being persecuted for righteousness' sake or for obnoxiousness' sake?
Ooh,
and so
you said Anna says that
all the time. Usually just directly to me.
She says it at you.
Yeah. So. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, we personally as Christians, we need to think about that. Like, am I pushing my agenda forward, or am I pushing the agenda of Christ forward? And so...
Love it.
It sucks to when it's you that is pushing your agenda forward, but we have all been in that situation where we've had to check ourselves and go, yeah, that one's me.
Hey, April, and I have a question for you. That's a really good question, you can tell, because a bunch of us answered it. Oh, what?
I probably have an answer, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. It is hard to enter into the unknown. What helped you through? So I think this is a question like just with us starting LTN, like, you know, not really knowing what this would look like and how that would go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think this is going to be different for each one of us. But for me personally, yes, it's hard to enter into the unknown. It's hard to not know, is this thing that we're doing going to succeed or is it going to fall flat on our face? But what has helped me through is honestly these five people and all of our friends and supporters that we brought with us or that came with us or people that we've met along the way, just knowing that I'm not doing this alone. If I am failing, if I'm struggling, I've got lots of other people who want to see me succeed. I mean, obviously the easy answer is Jesus, and that's certainly an answer. But one of the ways that God helps is by bringing the people into our lives that are there to stand with us and work with us and support us and encourage us and coach us and mentor us. And these five people and so many more in our community have done just that. You know, I don't think this would have succeeded if it was just one of us. I think we all bring different strengths to the table and we all need each other. So, yeah, that's the answer.
You could almost say it's just all about family.
I would never say that.
Giving away the wrong game.
I wish this was Fast and Furious. That would have been perfect.
Is that a Fast and Furious quote?
It's a family game.
Yeah, yeah, it's a family game.
I don't know.
That's great. I couldn't agree more. Hey, Drew, this one's for you. What are your recommendations for nerds when it comes to trying to find a church community?
Yeah. I think that you should go find a church community that is really good for you.
Next question.
Boom.
I believe we're in a culture now that's becoming more and more accepting of nerds, so I think you're less likely now to be ostracized for your nerdery than you were maybe even 3 or 4 years ago. So go and be yourself, and if people are awful and are like Pokemon stupid, then go look for another church.
They'll try and take over a different gym because all the churches are gyms.
Yep. But you know, I think go find a place where truth is preached, where people love their neighbors. The greatest commandment, right? When Jesus was asked about that, he said, "Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself." Go to a community that's going to love you and your family and whoever goes with you well. Don't ever hide who you are. Like that's a ticket to spiritual problems in your own life down the road, because if you can't be yourself in the church, you're going to play games, you're going to become a hypocrite yourself, and that's not healthy. So don't go to a space like that. But I think you might be surprised, even if there's no other nerds like you, you can recruit the people to join nerddom in your church as long as they love you and your family well. So I would kind of discourage people from maybe jumping ship just because there aren't any other nerds in your church. You may need to go someplace else if people don't love you and you're not you're in a community that's really judgmental or really, has a lot of problems or whatever. But yeah, go to a place that's going to love you well and bring your nerdy self with you and be honest about it and be open about it. And I think that you'll find that to be healthy. But doing what we do, it's really important to us to all be a part of a faith community actively. So you need people who love you and pray for you and don't judge you, but care about you, but want to speak truth into your life and are willing for you to speak truth into their lives. You need to be ministered to. So joining in this mission, I think it's really important to have people in your life that are praying and lifting up, a faith community that supports you.
So. I think it's interesting because I think that conceptually, right, like that's the answer. Like just go to a place that's going to accept you, but nowhere on the door does it say all people are welcome except if you play D&D, you know. So I would say go to places where people are. Maybe if you're looking for a church community where you know that they hang out, Christians love coffee shops. just go hang out at Starbucks or like wherever.
Yeah.
And like start talking to people, start over, you know, eavesdropping on conversations and stuff like that, and find out where they go. And I would say a good entry point is like a small group, you know, because like jumping into a church service and sitting through a Sunday morning and all that can be kind of intense. And it won't even really give you a good reading on where that church is, but a small group will.
Yeah.
What do the people say about the church when the pastor's not around? Like that kind of stuff. So I think that community is the big deal, and trying to find that any way that you possibly can is the money item. I would say if you can't find that, you're welcome to find that here at LTN for the time being. We do want to help you find a local church body and move you in that direction. It's not our end goal, but that is something that we do want to help you do. And we know that, you know, some people just, they don't go to church. They're burned by the church or whatever. It's part of our mission to bring people back to that middle ground so that they can cross to the other side and have conversations. But if you need help, we can help you find one. I will literally sit down with you and help you find one in your area that you can go to. I would just say, just be nosy. Like, that's probably the easiest way.
Accidental eavesdropping is how I have made most of my friends and connections, so it's odd that truth.
Are you sure it was accidental?
Accidental eavesdropper. No, I'm a very intentional eavesdropper.
I will just kind of, like, wrap it up and move on. Like, don't, like, rush in and rush out. Like, give it time. Look for people. Go to small groups. Like, just, like, hopping churches is not healthy. Like, really try to dig in and like really try to know people, because I feel like a lot of the people that I play games with now, like, they weren't big time gamers when I first met them, but because we built a relationship and we had this other commonality, maybe, like, that's where we can really dig deeper.
Hey Kate, FYI, I don't know if you saw, there were some more questions that came in. I dropped in the Discord thing there. If we don't have time to get to them, it's fine, but there's some more that came in that I put in the Discord.
Interesting.
Aprilyn and maybe one other person. I'd love to hear a pointer or two on possible segues in casual conversation about nerdy stuff from the subject matter itself to something deeper, like Jesus-filled community and truth. Thanks, you guys rock.
Thanks, we do rock.
Yep, agreed.
That's honest.
Yeah. So the reason I wrote someone else is, this is going to depend on your personality type and how you do conversation and relationship, honestly. For me, I never go into a conversation thinking, how am I going to talk to them about Jesus today? Because that's not what it's about for me. It's about getting to know the other person. If it's somebody I've just met, you know, one of the nice things about working for an organization that has a kind of Christian-y title, Love Thy Nerd, and that has the word Jesus in our mission statement, is right off the bat when somebody asks at a convention, hey, what does the Love Thy Nerd do? Right there, I'm going to tell them that I follow Jesus. And then I gauge their response. Like, if they are excited about that, like, oh, cool, like, tell me more, then bam, no segue needed, I'm in. If they kind of like skirt the issue and they seem kind of uncomfortable, then I'm going to back off and ask them, like, what are you doing here at the con? And Jesus might not come up again, honestly, like, because it's not about trying to force Jesus into a situation. It's about trying to build up relationships where that sort of conversation is just going to happen naturally. Like, the people that I've actually built up friendships with, I'm just sharing my life with them, which means that I'm going to talk to them about, hey, I'm reading this really cool book about Jesus, and like tell them, you know, what I like about it. And sometimes that leads to them talking about, oh, well, I think this from my upbringing as a Catholic. And, or, yeah, so my, you know, my mom who goes to church, she does this, and when she talks about Jesus, she does this way. And it leads to conversations about spiritual matters. But the goal is never to figure out how to insert that in to the conversation, if that makes sense. Like, I think it's perfectly valid to just have a conversation about Magic the Gathering or board games or the newest Marvel movie you saw, and to not talk about God in that conversation. I think that's still ministry, because you are giving them the outlet to be themselves and share what they love without fear of judgment. And that'll open doors. That'll open doors for friendship and relationship that will go a long way. So that's my answer. Did anybody else have a kind of a different take on it?
Yeah. I loved what you said there at the end, because it made me, I just had this thought, like, I have to believe that every conversation, like, there were conversations that Jesus had with people that were just like, how's the weather? Man, you wouldn't believe the poop I just had. Like, not every conversation had to turn to this grand what?
I like, just want so bad wild. To read that story in the Bible.
Everybody poops, man. Oh, everybody. Man. Jesus poops.
It's true.
Can we get some fanfic on get that, over please? It. Mm-hmm.
My point being that not every... April, I think you nailed it, that like... Everything is leading to something, and we're building trust with people, we're building relationships with people. What I've noticed in my experience since really having this approach that we've had with LTN, it feels sacrilegious to think, well, you don't have to, but it happened. Like, it is so, I won't say it's easy, because building relationships, true, deep, meaningful relationships with people is not easy, but I do think it's simple. Okay, because I can remember going to these like evangelism training things, you know, when I was in youth group. Well, he's trying out these tracks.
I'm too tired. I'm too
focus
giggly.
Up. Let's focus up. I'm sorry I mentioned poop.
Too tired and giggly, and the chat is popping this off is right now.
Middle schoolers, I'm sorry I mentioned poop. you know, I would go to these like evangelism trainings when I was a kid or like in youth group, and it was always about like, what are these questions you can ask people, and what's the wedge, and how do we get them to a salvific, which, was that even a word?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's a fun word. Yep.
Drew said it is. Like it. So it is.
But like, you know, how do we get to this point in this conversation? Like, what's the strategy? And, you know, I would do that stuff and it never worked, and it always felt awkward and forced and cringy and made people uncomfortable, made me uncomfortable. And what I have seen now in doing this for 8 years is when I just treat people like people instead of an agenda or a result or a soul to be saved, all of those conversations happen without me even having to start them. Because people begin to trust me, they know who I am, and when they hit those points in their life and they hit that wall and they have those questions, because everyone will and does, I'm the trusted person. That's all I ever want to be. I want to be the first person that someone thinks about when they have those bigger questions or they have that crisis. I just want to be that first person. And it's so, again, I won't say it's easy. It's so simple. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. And board games, especially video games, I think do this too. Like, it creates, so thanks for linking my poop story.
Oh my gosh. No. Now we gotta stop and watch it.
Yeah, we're just gonna stop and watch that together, actually. It's only 10 minutes long, guys. almost 11.
Please save that for later. Don't watch it now.
Don't watch that now. I don't know. I just think it's nerd culture is such, can be such a unifying thing, because we get to nerd out about our nerd stuff, that it breaks down barriers that otherwise wouldn't be broken down. It gives the opportunity to have this conversation. So that's all I'll say about that. Yeah. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
I will add, let me add a few more things though, real quick. So one of the things that used to be, that'll be a hindrance, is if you are afraid to tell them that you're a Christian. And you don't have to come out, and you probably should not come out and say, oh, before we start talking, I have to let you know I'm a Jesus follower. Okay, so Jesus, everything I say is going to be framed, but like, don't do that. But now this is kind of sneaky, but sometimes you can ease ways into the conversation, like, oh, yeah, I'll be a little bit late tomorrow because it's Sunday and I have church. You know, or have an organization called Love Thy Nerd with a Jesus in the minute. Like, if you are afraid to be your Christian self in front of them and you're just saving it for later, like, oh, when do I tell them that I'm Christian? Like, are they going to judge me? That's going to be the wrong approach, because then you're going to be always afraid to bring that up. But if you just go in the gate, like, making sure that they know who you follow, what you stand for, that's going to be, like Chris said, you know, those conversations are just going to happen. They will happen because as they learn to trust you, if they have those spiritual questions or topics or whatever, you're going to be the person that they're going to want to go to. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, DC Talk.
Recently, I did not think I was going to get a chance to talk about this, but I'm so glad that I do. Thank you, Aprilyn, for bringing that up, because it's a perfect segue. I've been recently going through and watching Saved by the Bell on Netflix.
Congratulations.
And I mean,
that is not the direction I mean, thought this was going.
OG. Like,
nice.
I think it's the first episode that old Zachary Morris, he is coming back from summer, and he met a girl at camp.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know how that, where the lake or something like that. Fun fact, did you know that Saved by the Bell is based in Indianapolis?
No.
Really?
Right here.
I was
Wait, it's not California?
Right here in your stomping grounds.
Heck yeah. Huh.
And so, anyway, he meets this girl, and she ends up going to his school, and he told her he was in the 9th grade, but he was actually in the 8th grade, oh, and she's in the 9th grade. And so the entire time that they're together, he's lying to her out of his teeth, trying to get her to believe that he's from some experimental campus where he can be on during the off periods and off campus during the on periods and stuff like that, and that he's an experimental 8th grade, 9th grade combo homeroom. I say all that to say this. First of all, go watch Saved by the Bell. It is a trip. Secondly, when you're not honest with people about what it is that who you are and what you do and what you're about, like, it only leads to more crazy lies. You have to tell a lie to cover up the lie to cover up the lie. And if there's one thing you should learn from Zachary Morris, it's to not do that.
Just one thing.
Don't do it.
Just one thing.
Don't do it.
You can learn not to.
Well, now that sermon's over.
Hey, Matt.
That one felt good, guys.
Yeah. Hey, Matt. And some of us can piggyback, too, if we need to. What's next for LTN Con? If it's online, does it go bigger, better? Does it go in person and we all bring our own games?
We are honestly waiting for more feedback from you all. Now, we have all talked a little bit this weekend about what this next year might be like. I think we've landed on we at least need to have something major online like this.
Probably.
If it's only a day, it's only a day. We would love to get back in person as well. That it's just really tough. Like, I feel like we maybe could have done it this year in person, maybe if we had known a little bit more, but I just don't know if people would have also felt safe. So I think doing it online was our best bet still. I don't know. The answer is I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, like, this is something we talked about even going into this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the online last year was so rad, we were like, we can't just not do that. And so there were talks about, like, doing fully in-person and fully online, like doing both of those. Do we do them in the same weekend? Do we do them, you know, one in the spring, one in the fall? Like you see. What you I think what
burn Utica to the ground if we do them at the same time.
Like, what I think is maybe a lot of people don't understand is just how much work, how much effort, all the people. I mean, it's not just us. Like, we have so many people that are making this thing go. And we're not, our stuff looks really good, and that's because of this guy right here.
No, it's because of this guy right here.
What also,
Mr. Bull.
What that also does is it makes the viewer think that we're bigger than we are, or have more resources than we have, or more time, or whatever. And so for us, it always has to be a question of, like, Do we have what it takes to really make this really good? We don't want to, like, just do something just to do something. So it's definitely conversations we're going to be having, like, once we get back and start talking to the team and everything, like, you know, figuring out for... But I can almost say, I think we'd all agree, like, in person, I think that will always be like foundational.
Yeah.
Because it just, there really isn't a replacement for it. We understand the accessibility of online and how people that wouldn't be able to come in person, that's at least something. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of like making sure we have the resources and the capacity and all that stuff to do it. So
I would like to see, personally, if we can just dream for a minute here, I would like to see, if we do something online, it's shorter. You know, like, I don't want it to be the same thing as an in-person con, because I don't want you to feel like you could, you have to go to one or the other. You're choosing, you know, one or the other. I mean, if you want to go to the online con, it's a Saturday. You know, it's easy. If the idea is accessibility, why not make it completely as accessible as it possibly can be? One day, a couple events, you know, some speakers, some, you know, arcade events and some really cool stuff. And then we focus fire on having a really dope in-person con. And we've already talked about what that might look like. Last year, we were hoping to have it in Louisville. We had everything basically set up and ready to go, but
pivot,
couldn't do it. Yeah. And so as things start to shift and start to change, and you know, it's nothing political, but as those things start to shift and change and the world starts to get back to a little bit, some semblance of normalcy, we can see those things starting to come back. I can tell you that because we've already been to conventions already this year. So next year is a very high possibility that we have an in-person convention. And I mean, it's probably going to be awesome because we love in-person cons so much.
Kate, this question's for you. This comes by way of Brett Vance, Vance Refrigeration.
Brett?
How are y'all so incredible and beautiful?
It's a good word.
I even saw this question before as I was copying and pasting it, and it still made me laugh. I don't know. I'll say for Matt, it's because he drank that coffee in a way that might be dangerous to your health.
Yeah.
Went straight to his beard.
No, it's, I don't know, I was born that way for 10 years and wasn't getting the right vitamins.
Maybe we were born this way.
Born this way, as Lady Gaga says. I find that to be inspirational.
Yeah.
I think this is a great question. It's a short, brief question, but
yeah, born this way. I think we're going to have to do a little research.
Yeah, we'll pray about it.
Although, Chris, I mean, you lost a poll. You lost a poll that said that you had a big head, so I don't know if that's included in here.
Also, I got another comment of a new celebrity lookalike now that I have. So I've gotten Bill Murray, which
classic.
See it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
What was the other one I got recently?
Nick Cage.
That happened during the stream. I've had Shia LaBeouf, which I'm a little flattered by. But also he's kind of a loose cannon, that guy, man. But the new one I just got from I think Tierney's sister was a young Tom Hanks.
Okay. How young?
Younger.
Yeah, I see it.
Anyway,
well, good luck. Good
maybe
luck
like on the
Chris.
Island.
This question, Drew, this is for you.
I have made fire.
Drew, are there games or media that you, this doesn't have to be like you specifically, but just LTN, it can be you specifically. Games or media that you won't engage with fellow nerds in? Obviously, we want to love thy nerd and their nerdy things. Just curious what you do when confronted with someone who's really into things that you find appalling. Thanks.
Sure.
Love you guys.
Sure. Yeah.
Appalling. It's a good word.
I think it's really important that we all be sensitive to our own consciences. Our conscience is a gift from a good God who made us and wants to protect us. And so if something is troubling you, listen to that. But I also think we need to be sensitive and kind to those who don't have the same conscience as we do. So there's going to be people who don't have the same lines drawn in the sand that you do, and that's okay. I think we really need, because here's the thing about your nerdy friends who don't follow Jesus, if they know that you do, they're just waiting for that moment when you tell them that you are unwilling to play D&D or whatever. I think it's a bad example because most of us love D&D. We played it. We had, you know, these guys played it last night. But there's some personal boundaries I have. For one, and again, this is something that a lot of you probably do, and please don't hear this as judgmental for me, but it was just an example. I'm not judging you, okay?
Wow,
if you play this,
here.
But I don't anymore like to play Cards Against Humanity because I feel like we're celebrating the worst possible things in a broken world. I think it can, in certain settings, it can become this thing where we try to make something so awful that it makes everyone laugh. And I'm not big on laughing. I want to, sometimes I do. Listen, I'm a broken person too. Sometimes I see that stuff and I'll honestly laugh. But I want to be a person who doesn't celebrate things that are broken. So that's a good barometer for us to check ourselves on is like, is this piece of media, this game, this book, this movie, is it celebrating something that is broken and saying, hey, selfish violence is really wonderful and good, and look how cool it is. Like, I don't want to get behind that. I can't celebrate selfish violence as if it's this wonderful thing. Or is it just depicting the consequences of selfish behavior? And something depicting the consequences of selfish behavior, that movie is actually telling the truth, and that can be a really healthy thing for us to experience. Really good films, really good TV shows do this all the time. They show us the consequences of that kind of behavior. I think just respect the different consciences of others. I'm never going to jump into a conversation with you and be like, let me tell you all about why I have this line in the sand for me personally about Cards Against Humanity. I'm just not going to do that because it's possible that you play it in a way that is fine and healthy, and regardless, you don't have to have my same conscience.
That's kind of an interesting juxtaposition right there. It's like your personal conscious decision to not do something, your moral compass, as it were, that being a personal thing versus projecting that onto somebody else to say, this is an issue for me, so you shouldn't do it either. I think that we're all guilty of that a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except, well, he's doing it right now, actually. But you know, like, if it is an issue for you, that's fine. I think that there are like some blanket statements. It's like, well, you know, you're not really into murdering people, but like, I think it's totally fine. You know, like, there are some blanket things that are just not okay. But when it comes down to like really like specific minutiae stuff like that, like I think that we do need to be careful. And we've been pretty adamant about trying to help train people to be careful about that. Mm-hmm. One of the questions we get all the time, right, is what games should I not play?
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't have the answer that you seek for that, because that is up to you. Mm-hmm. I talk to people all the time that are like, well, I don't watch horror movies, and I'm like, man, I grew up on horror movies. Like, I cut my teeth on horror movies, and so they don't necessarily bother me, but I know that they bother my wife. So in an effort to not, you know, scare her before she goes to sleep or make her feel uncomfortable or like whatever, it's like, I just don't watch them. It doesn't mean that it is an issue for me. I'm just not trying to create that stumbling block for people around me. But what I don't do is go to somebody else and say, no, you should be watching scary movies. Like, I'm not, it's, that's for you to decide, not for me to decide.
Yeah, Erin just said something in the chat that I think is super helpful.
That's brilliant.
She said, thinking critically, in case you're not reading it, Trump's being critical. I think that's a big part of what we're trying to do at LoveLiner.com is training you to think Christianly, which is a lot more complicated than is this bad or good. Like, thinking Christianly is a totally different paradigm.
Yeah,
And so let's be critical about what's good and true. That means noticing what's good and true and beautiful in games and nerd culture, and noticing what might be objectifying someone made in God's image and making someone else feel small. I don't want to celebrate anything that makes someone feel less than or small or unimportant. But I do want to lift up a lot of these awesome games we've been playing this week because they created community, they made us laugh, they created moments around the table where we got to know each other better and learn to appreciate and love each other better.
One extra thought on this, and then maybe we can do one more question before
hitting
the keynote. I want to go back to the original question. Not that we were on it, but one of the things it said in there was like, You know, what do you do when you're confronted with someone who's really into things that you find appalling? And something that I would ask is, why do you find that appalling? I think that's something that we should ask ourselves all the time, is like, what about this thing is triggering for me? What about this thing is causing whatever these feelings are, whatever these conflicts are? Like, I think, you know, April Lynn, I love when she talks about curiosity. And a lot of times it's curiosity about other people so that we can get to know them. But I think there's curiosity we can have about ourselves, right? Like, inner reflection, self-awareness is, why is this doing this to me, you know? And I think that can be incredibly helpful because it can cause growth in us. It can cause us to maybe meet closer with people if we're able to more critically examine those things. And frankly, like, if we look at Jesus and his life, there's a lot of things and a lot of places that he went into, groups of people that he interacted with, especially in a time that was very racially divided, very like socially divided, class system, like all these things. And he went right in the middle of that crap a lot of times and called other people into the middle of those things, things that they would have used this exact same word. Okay? Samaritans are appalling, right? Like, they would have said those things. Women caught in adultery are appalling. Lepers are appalling. And I truly believe, like, Jesus pushed the envelope on those things, and I think he asks us to do the same. Now, I'm not saying, like, you just have to drop everything right now and just go crazy, but, like, ask those questions of yourself, not just of other people. You know, that's the whole plank in our eye, speck in someone else's deal. What's that from?
Bible.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sermon
on the Mount. Okay, Gerald.
Sorry. Oh, man. Jeez. Oh, okay, Bible school. We got it. Yeah. Cool. All right, we'll just end with this one. It was just a favorite question. Pick your favorite. RPG.
Oh.
Tabletop. Pick your favorite person here.
Me. Myself.
I also pick you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pocky. Pick your favorite RPG, tabletop, video game, book, like just a favorite. It could be like a franchise, you know, a something like that. Like, just what comes to mind.
If I'm going to say video game, I will say The Legend of Zelda, because it's just always, I know, it's always been my favorite.
Easy one for you. Do you have a why?
It's, I feel like it's the first, when the original Zelda came out, I was a young lad. And I feel like it's
young.
I connected with it. I don't know. I felt like I connected with it, and it really made me think more about, like, I don't know, like another world fantasy. And like, I remember playing Zelda outside. Like, I was just very excited about, like, there being more. I don't know if that makes sense. I just love it.
Yeah.
The end, amen.
It's beautiful.
Super good.
I mean, I'll get mine out of the way. If we're talking about favorites, it's really hard for me to think about my favorite video game because
Diablo
I have so
two.
Many. I don't know, because if you were to put it up hour for hour against Destiny 2, it's just not even close. But if we're talking about, like, the best, like, my favorite stuff, my favorite tabletop experience is Beast of Balance, man. Like, I love those things. I'm a communal
gamer.
Give
Bubba a dexterity game, man. Like,
I'm here.
You want to speak this guy's love language, you give him a dexterity game.
And I'm serious. That is not a joke. Like, that's not a front or anything. I love these games that create these social moments where people will stop. They will stop and come around to see what is going on. I call them my milkshake games, man. Like, that's... I want those moments where people will stop and ask questions. And then that's where relationships can start, is from little stuff like that, so...
Yeah, boy. April and Kate?
Favorite anime, Sailor Moon.
Nice. Why?
Because it was one of the first anime I ever saw, so it has a lot of nostalgia, and just the more I watch it, as I get older, I pull new things out of it every time.
Nice.
Very relatable.
Kate, does yours have anything to do with the painting behind you?
He's so happy.
Yeah, it does. Red Dead 2 is the best game that
that's my other choice.
And I I think everyone should play it. But I guess my favorite like franchise thing is the Assassin's Creed franchise, because that's really the franchise that got me into like gaming regularly. Before that, I didn't really care if I had a PlayStation available to me or not. I went through a time of life where I was fine with no game console there, and Assassin's Creed brought me back. Brought me back into the fold.
Roared redemption? Oh. What?
Redemption. I mean, I'll play it, but I don't like it.
Here we are. Brought me back to the fold. But if you haven't played Red Dead 2, you should go do that right now. You can quit out of this. Just start up a new file.
Kate, how much are they paying you?
Sad thing is, they're paying me nothing. I put all that time in. Hmm. Nothing.
You have 20 seconds.
26.
Quickly go.
Did you get
it? I know. I planned for it.
You're eating into his stomach.
I would say this may be too generic, but space stuff. So, like, just
Space Jam.
Space board game, Space Jam, absolutely. Space shows, sure. Movies, Star Wars, The Expanse, Twilight Imperium,
Foundation.
Stellaris. I haven't started it yet, but so I cannot good. Wait. Cannot wait for Foundation.
Chris space is just Force. Waiting for LTN Con in space.
Space Force! Let's
I
go!
Did like, I don't know why I got canceled. I really liked that.
You know exactly why I got canceled.
No, I liked it.
Ew, I lost
but it. Yeah, just space stuff. I'm a sucker for it.
Drew, you have five.
Okay, my favorite game is probably Bloodborne. I am a sucker for...
I should have said Souls games.
Yeah, really well-crafted game worlds that just sort of... like absorb you. That sounds bad, but like where you're just
immersive.
I mean, and it requires so much of you. Like it requires so much of you to play Bloodborne well that your hands are sweating. Like you're dialed in.
So there's this
thing called flow. You should look it up in the world of
flow theory. It's good.
And Bloodborne gets you into a state of flow where you're fully locked in, concentrated, and that's what gets us to points of epic victories. I think.
Mm.
And that's what. Like, there is a tie into life. Like, that's what we want in life. Like, we want to flow in our lives. We want to be totally bought in, focused, because that leads to epic victories.
I like Zelda because it's a fun game.
You're going to get saved after hitting his favorite game.
Zelda is
guys, we're gonna so are we going to finish this right now?
We'll close it after.
Okay,
this
we'll
is
close
never
the giveaway
over.
After. Thank you so much for all the questions. We did not get to all of them, so what I really want to do is... try to hit you guys up and answer you like via email. Again, if you have more questions, just email us. Chris, Bubba, Drew.
No, I'm Matt.
Matt, yeah. Drew, I'm April Lynn, April-Lynn. Her full name is April Lynn, not April. And
don't
Kate,
call her April.
At lovethynerd.com. Well, nobody
just email me. I love it.
No dashing Kate.
I'm going to call you Mark.
I'm fine with Mark.
No dashing Kate.
Yes, we do call
So, thank you guys so much.